Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Saying No to Gaslighting and Narcissistic Abuse by Jennifer Burton is a beginner-oriented self-help guide focused on emotional and psychological abuse, especially manipulation associated with gaslighting and narcissistic behavior. The book is positioned for readers who may recognize confusion, self-doubt, boundary erosion, or recurring toxic patterns in close relationships, but do not yet have a clear framework for understanding what is happening. Its purpose is practical. Rather than clinical, it introduces common forms of manipulative behavior, explains why these dynamics can be difficult to identify from inside the relationship, and emphasizes the importance of boundaries as a tool for regaining personal agency. Based on its stated focus, the book belongs to the Relationship Recovery and Emotional Abuse Awareness category. It aims to make complex interpersonal patterns easier to name, helping readers move from vague distress toward clearer recognition, safer decision-making, and the first stages of recovery. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing emotional abuse beyond visible harm. A central theme of the book is the need to broaden the ordinary understanding of abuse. Many people associate abuse primarily with physical harm, which can make emotional and psychological abuse harder to recognize or validate. Burton focuses on gaslighting and narcissistic abuse as forms of harm that often operate through confusion, minimization, blame shifting, and the gradual weakening of self-trust. This framing matters because victims may not immediately see their experience as abuse if there are no visible injuries or explicit threats. The book, therefore, begins from a definitional problem. Readers need language for patterns that may have felt personal, private, or impossible to explain. By naming manipulation as a behavioral pattern rather than a simple disagreement, the guide helps separate normal relational conflict from repeated attempts to distort perception or control emotional responses. This topic is especially important for beginners, because recognition often comes before action. Without a clear conceptual map, a reader may continue trying to solve the relationship through more patience, explanation, or self-blame. The book directs attention instead to recurring dynamics and their effects on the person being targeted. Secondly, gaslighting is a pattern that damages self-trust. The book presents gaslighting as more than isolated lying or ordinary disagreement. In the context of emotional abuse, gaslighting involves repeated behavior that causes a person to question memory, judgment, emotional reactions, or basic interpretation of events. This emphasis is useful because gaslighting is often discussed casually, but the damaging mechanism depends on repetition and power imbalance. A single denial may be frustrating. A sustained pattern of denial, contradiction, ridicule, or reversal can make the target dependent on the manipulative person for reality checking. Burton positions awareness as the first defense, because the target often feels the effects before understanding the cause. Confusion, excessive apologizing, difficulty making decisions, and fear of being too sensitive can all become signs that perception has been undermined. The value of this topic lies in shifting the question from whether the abusive person can be persuaded to admit wrongdoing to whether the interaction pattern consistently erodes. Clarity. For readers new to the subject, that distinction is practical. It encourages documentation, reflection, and attention to patterns rather than getting trapped in debates over every individual incident. Thirdly, narcissistic abuse and the cycle of control. Another major focus is narcissistic abuse, described through relationship patterns in which one person repeatedly prioritizes control, admiration, entitlement, or dominance at the expense of the other person's emotional safety. The book does not need to function as a diagnostic manual to be useful. Its practical concern is behavior, not labeling someone with a clinical condition. This distinction is important because readers can become preoccupied with proving whether a partner, family member, or other close person is a narcissist. Burton's approach, as reflected in the book's positioning, is more actionable: identify manipulative behaviors and assess their impact. Such behaviors may include dismissing concerns, exploiting vulnerability, shifting blame, using affection inconsistently, or creating dependence through approval and withdrawal. The mechanism of control is often gradual, which is why the relationship can feel loving, destabilizing, and threatening at different times. By treating narcissistic abuse as a pattern rather than a single personality description, the guide helps readers focus on evidence within the relationship. This makes the concept more usable for people who need to make decisions about boundaries, distance, or support without waiting for external validation. Fourthly, boundary setting is a practical recovery skill. The subtitle highlights boundary setting, and this is one of the book's most practical concerns. In relationships shaped by gaslighting or narcissistic behavior, boundaries are often weakened through guilt, pressure, repeated exceptions, or punishment after refusal. Burton frames boundaries not as harsh ultimatums, but as necessary limits that protect emotional stability and personal decision-making. For beginners, this distinction matters because many targets of manipulation have been conditioned to view self-protection as selfishness or disloyalty. A useful boundary must be specific, observable, and connected to action. For example, the central issue is not merely telling a manipulative person to be respectful, but deciding what the reader will do when conversations become demeaning, circular, or coercive. The reasoning behind this approach is that boundaries depend less on convincing the other person and more on the reader's consistency. This is a realistic emphasis in abuse recovery, since manipulative individuals may test limits or reinterpret them as attacks. The book's contribution is to connect recognition with behavior change. Once manipulation is identified, the reader needs practical ways to reduce exposure, protect choices, and stop negotiating away personal limits. Lastly, regaining agency after toxic relationship patterns, the book is not limited to identifying abuse. It also points toward taking control of one's life after manipulation has narrowed the reader's sense of choice. Emotional abuse can create learned hesitation, isolation, and fear of consequences, so recovery requires more than simply knowing the correct terminology. Burton's beginner-focused approach emphasizes empowerment through awareness, boundary practice, and breaking free from toxic relationship dynamics. The phrase "taking control" should be understood realistically. It does not imply instant confidence or simple solutions, but a gradual rebuilding of self-trust and decision-making. This includes recognizing that emotional attachment can coexist with harm, which is one reason leaving or changing the relationship may feel confusing. The guide appears to prioritize tools and techniques that help readers evaluate patterns, reduce dependence on the abuser's version of events, and consider healthier relational standards. Its practical implication is that recovery involves both external and internal change. Externally, a person may need distance, support, or firmer communication. This makes agency a concrete recovery goal rather than a vague inspirational idea. In conclusion, saying no to gaslighting and narcissistic abuse is best suited for readers who are beginning to question whether a close relationship has become emotionally manipulative, as well as readers who want an accessible introduction to gaslighting, narcissistic abuse, and boundary setting. It may also be useful for friends or family members trying to understand why someone in a toxic relationship appears confused, self-blaming, or unable to leave quickly. The practical benefit of the book lies in its emphasis on recognition and action. It helps readers name patterns, understand how self-trust can be undermined, and see boundaries as a necessary form of protection rather than a personal failure. Its intellectual benefit is more foundational than academic, offering a clear framework for distinguishing ordinary conflict from repeated psychological control. Compared with many books in this category, it stands out through its beginner-friendly positioning and its combined focus on identification, boundary formation, and personal agency. Rather than centering only on definitions of narcissism or only on encouragement after abuse, it connects the early stages of awareness with practical next steps. Readers seeking clinical depth or extensive research discussion may need additional resources. But those needing a clear starting point are likely to find its structure especially relevant. If you would like to support Jennifer Burton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.